Well, welcome to Perspectives from WFSU Public Media. I'm Tom Flanagan. Our program using the Zoom platform pre-recorded on Tuesday, June 8th for playback on Thursday, June 10th. The show to be aired on WFSU-FM. It'll also be archived on WFSU.org so you can go and check it out. In case you missed it the first time around on the radio or you heard it and think, that's pretty interesting. I'm going to go back and revisit that presentation. Well, back in the BC era, which nowadays means before COVID, there sure seemed to be a considerable amount of construction activity in and around Tallahassee. Much of it concentrated, of course, on luxury student housing, but there were a lot of other projects underway, too. I'm thinking Cascades Park and a whole host of others. Well, certainly the pandemic kind of put a damper on some of this activity for a while, but it does seem that the building business has survived and is getting back into a higher gear nowadays. And with the current housing shortage that's impacting the residential market, but there's a lot of commercial activity that's going on as well. And that's kind of where we're going to get our start of discussion on our Perspectives program today. And it looks like there are a lot of opportunities out there for the building industry and those folks involved, although there are sure some challenges, especially when it comes to things like the availability and cost of building supplies. So much to talk about, and we're going to talk about it all with our guests on this special edition of Perspectives as we welcome first Jay Bostwick, who is chair of the Association of Builders and Contractors of North Florida. Jay, thank you so much for coming on board. Sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. Looking forward to it.
We also have the head person at Comfort Systems USA and is the vice chair of the Association of Builders and Contractors in the persona of Kim Anderson. Kim, welcome. Good to have you.
Good afternoon, Tom. Thank you.
Well, let's just dive right into it and let's get the update. What the heck is business like for builders and contractors, particularly in the commercial arena? And then we can kind of veer into residential just from what you guys are hearing a little bit later on. Jay, let's start with you. What the heck is going on with the commercial building industry in our neck of the woods nowadays?
Well, Tom, as you mentioned, you know, COVID affected everything. Luckily, the governor and Associated Builders and Contractors of who we are, the commercial guys here in the whole state and the United States, were very lucky that we were deemed essential and were able to keep working. As you mentioned, some of the projects kind of were on hold, slowed down. Nobody knew exactly what to expect, but as a general rule, we kept working. A lot of those projects were delayed. And as you said, many are starting back up. So we're very happy, with the governor here in Florida, especially, and then Associated Builders and Contractors working so hard to make sure we could keep working and be called essential. So that was a big thing. Of course, you know, some people had some sicknesses, people, you know, not coming to work. As we see now, there's, still a big shortage. We've had a shortage in labor for a long time. Seems like forever, I guess, Kim, almost. We've always been saying we need help with workers. And I think some of that is, everybody thinking they got to go get a four-year degree and all that stuff and the stigma or whatever the word might be, you know, on a construction degree, where there's plumbing, electrical, mechanical, and we've been trying for a long time to let these people know they can have a good job and make a good living in what we do, you know. And so we're working on that, trying to get the schools more involved in the trades again, that kind of thing. But, we've been very blessed. I think everybody seems to be doing, like you said, very busy. The rest of the state seems to even be more busy than Tallahassee. We travel a little bit around the state, and Kim's over actually in Pensacola, and they're really cranking over there. And of course, you got Navy, the base down there. Tyndall's supposed to do $3 or $4 billion, I think, isn't it, Kim? Something like that. So that's kind of the state of affairs from my side. Kim, I don't know if you want to follow up.
Yes, we've been blessed to be busy even with some slowdowns. The material shortages you mentioned are the challenge we're facing today, really, because the shortages are really broad across all sectors. It's not any one item or any one area of the country. Used to be if you had a shortage locally, you could reach out and ship something in from afar, but you know, things like compressors that used to be, you know, I don't know that a shelf item's right, but if somebody's air conditioning unit went down, you could replace it tomorrow, and we're facing that shortage. Steel pricing has virtually doubled in the past 90 days. Of course, wood, everybody's heard about that through the news. So it's really broad. And then parts, just availability, that's some of what our manufacturers are facing is they're, you know, say a water cooler is ready to ship out, but they're missing a circuit board that they can't get. So like I said, an item as simple as a water cooler may take 6 months to get if you need any large quantities of them. So it's really challenging. The good news there is our suppliers are indicating they think we will start to see some relief there, 3 to 6 months, depending on the item. So we're hopeful there. We can navigate anything as long as it's not a forever situation there. So we're encouraged by that word. Of course, the challenge is in the pricing too, because of course, when supply gets short, prices go up. I mean, that's the beauty of the system that we work in. Whether, you know, good for good or not, it's a supply and demand situation. So some of our quotes come in and they're good till 5 o'clock today. So it's pretty hard to give an owner a firm quote in some situations because of that. We're not seeing any delays because of pricing yet. You know, you wonder at some point, our budget's going to be pushed that they have no choice but to postpone. But there's a huge need out there right now, usually for construction, for capacity ongoing there as well.
And it's not just, as you indicated, Kim, the fact that the raw price of those goods has increased, but if you have an availability challenge, that also lengthens the time that you have to do the project. And time, of course, is money, and that builds an additional cost into the whole project, too.
Correct. We need a little patience and understanding. You know, everybody's trying, certainly, to do what they can do to overcome these, and sometimes you can substitute alternates, but because it is so broad, that's not usually a viable alternative. It's faced everywhere. So,
well, as we start to gear back up, and Jay, let me throw this to you first, and then Kim, you can jump in certainly too. What are the major commercial projects that we are looking at that have reignited or maybe never even went away completely as we went through this whole pandemic situation here in the greater Tallahassee and North Florida area? What are the things that are really keeping the contractors going right now?
Well, the car washes we had mentioned a little earlier, I think just before we went on the air here, we seem to be now they're building like crazy. Of course, the apartments has been really big in Tallahassee, FSU, and everywhere else. Is they're building a bunch. You know, we had a couple of the hospitals built some branches in different locations, kind of a new concept to get nearer the patients. So that's been good. You know, the retail hadn't done much. Office not doing much when you got people at home and, you know, people buying online. Who knows if that'll ever come back? So those are kind of interesting things today. But, you know, Tallahassee has always been, if you will, kind of stable, I guess is the word. We don't seem to get real high or real low. So as you look around the state now, it appears that most people are even busier than we are. You know, FSU is not doing too much. The state is not building too much. But we have these huge projects, the hotels you mentioned. You know, there's a couple on Railroad Avenue, brand new, and then Cascades Park and all those you mentioned. So lots of hotels been coming. So we've been doing pretty good. It's as Kim, just to follow up a little bit there, we at Sperry, I'm at Sperry, been there 30-something years. I've never seen it where, you know, you have to tell somebody, well, the price we gave you, you know, a year goes up 50 to 60%, number one. And then, by the way, you got 7 months before we can get, you know, a pre-engineered building or bar joist or metal decking, or as Kim mentioned, air conditioning. I mean, everything they ask usually for a schedule, you know, when can you do my job? Well, we used to sit down there and figure how long it took to do the concrete, how long it took to do the, you know, erection of the wood or the block. And now you got to go to the sub and say, hey, when can we get this material in order to give a schedule? So that's been a challenge. I've had a couple of my guys that have asked me, hey, can you give me a schedule? And it's like, well, let me get a price from the subcontractor and then get a, you know, some kind of commitment from them that they're going to get the material this time and I can give you a schedule. And Kim and I were talking the other day, a little concerned, you know, we're telling people, you give us a contract and we will try to buy everything out and lock your number in to avoid these increases. Well, everybody knows in reality, if 7 months from now, it doesn't slow down. And these guys are like, well, we told you we were locked in, but, you know, we've gone up another 50%. So there's a little concern there about what happens then. So I'm hoping, as Kim mentioned, we will catch up in 3 to 6 months. We do a lot of pre-engineered buildings over here, and just had a guy this morning say they're booked out till January of next year. So this, he's not coming down for sure. So that's a little a concern we have, is prices do continue to go up and being able to get them. So.
Well, putting up the shell and all the other interior amenities then is just part of it. You got to have the rest of the accessories that make life livable in this part of the world. Kim, you are involved with Comfort Systems USA, and how has that part of the business been going?
Well, our service business was impacted somewhat by COVID. Obviously, people didn't want extra folks in their buildings when they're trying to combat COVID, but pretty much that's bounced back now as far as the service world, because I think people found they still have to maintain their buildings. And of course, certain things like indoor air quality became important as people were coming back to work in their facilities, whether it's a manufacturing plant or an office building. So that sector of our business has certainly picked up. From the mechanical and plumbing construction side, we were blessed going into COVID that we had a pretty substantial backlog of work. And again, as Jay mentioned, very blessed that we were deemed essential, that we could keep working. And we found we could navigate the challenges of COVID for the most part. Certainly had to implement enhanced safety measures for our folks as well as our customers. And you know, dealt with some folks being out sick, but again, they all came back to work safely you know, we're back day to day as we acted before. And going forward, so far, there doesn't seem to be a slowdown in opportunities. Jay mentioned Tyndall Air Force Base. There's a tremendous amount of work down there with the rebuild from Hurricane Michael, and it's really just starting to ramp up. Several more projects yet to chase there if you're in the federal contracting realm and prefer that kind of work. Healthcare, Jay mentioned, these freestanding emergency departments, pretty much every hospital network now is putting those up across the Florida Panhandle. We've been able to participate in that work. And healthcare in general, we had some ongoing large healthcare projects, and for the most part, they stayed pretty steady through the COVID, except in areas that involved renovation of patient rooms. They slowed us down because, of course, they didn't want to take up needed beds with the resulted COVID patients. The good news is today in the hospitals that we're working, very few COVID patients. We do think there's some pent-up demand in the healthcare arena because hospitals and healthcare chose not to do new renovation projects, getting them started, until they felt comfortable that there weren't going to be any future spikes of cases. So we think that will, you know, uptick here in the coming months as well, provided the material shortages don't cause budget problems there as far as that goes. So overall, the panhandle seems to be pretty brisk. We've seen a short term, it seems like just recently there's been a little bit of downtick of things to bid, but that could just be the natural course of things because we've seen that before, and then all at once 3 weeks later you're overwhelmed almost. So I don't know if to attribute that directly to the pricing or the shortages or just the natural way of things there. Well, so labor, we're constantly looking for good folks. Supervision is a challenge for us, finding good, solid individuals to help us manage our projects. Construction is a very varied industry, lots of opportunity for growth in it. As Jay mentioned, you don't necessarily need a four-year degree to be highly successful in the construction industry, just a good solid work ethic and ability to learn on the job, training. We appreciate the opportunity to train folks while they're working, and ABC is a big part of that proponent, whether it's safety training, leadership training, or specific skills training. So, and that's one thing we really appreciate about ABC is that proponent of getting those skill sets and help us train our individuals for future success.
Well, we sure do love acronyms, and ABC stands for what, Kim?
Associated Builders and Contractors.
There you go. Okay. I want to get back into that and talk a little bit more about that that hiring, that staffing situation, because you can't go by, you know, a restaurant or even a Publix anymore without seeing a big "We Are Hiring" sign out there. Jay, just from your viewpoint, how much does that hamstring the commercial contractors as far as having enough personnel to handle the business and the projects that are coming online?
Yeah, Tom, I would say that's our biggest thing right now, period, is skilled labor. Really, it's just been that way for a while. Like we said, you know, as Kim mentioned, ABC, Associated Builders and Contractors, has the biggest apprenticeship program in the state of Florida. We train more people than anybody, and everybody's looking at it. You know, the community colleges, even the colleges, everybody today focusing on people. And we've always had, it seemed like, a shortage in construction, but it's a big deal right now. Actually, we've tried to hire, an estimator now for about 2 years, it seems like, and just can't find really anybody, and tried everywhere. And it's true with just about everybody, laborers, you know, anybody. It is it's a big challenge. We keep talking about, we would love to get, again, the trades back into the high schools. You know, we think we got to do it even maybe in middle school to tell these people, hey, this is a viable industry. It is a good business. You know, as Kim said, you can definitely be successful. A lot of these people start out as an electrician, and then the next thing you know, they own their own company. You know, they break away and decide they can do it on their own, or plumbing or mechanical or any of them. And, you know, they do pretty well. So it's a good business. And, you know, we have ups and downs, seems like, all the time. I think a lot of people don't like it for that. We get busy and slow down. And that's normal. This one is a little unusual in my mind here. It hasn't ever happened where, all these things are happening at once, the COVID and then the lack of workers and then the lack of materials. It's kind of I hadn't seen this, and I've been doing it a long time, as I mentioned. So I'm hoping we'll come out of it maybe in the fourth quarter, at least trying to get back to normal. You know, the good thing about America and everything, supply and demand always wins out no matter what they do or say. I think Kim and I talked the other day, labor, we're paying a little more, for workers. And as you mentioned, I see things on doors of convenience stores for, $20 an hour come to the convenience store. So that's affecting everybody, driving prices up. As you mentioned, a lot of things pushing the inflation. You hate to talk about that, but it is a lot of things happening that are raising prices in a lot of industries. But that is a concern. If you hire somebody at $15-20 an hour, and the guy you got working with is already making that. He's like, well, I've been doing this a long time. I should make more. So it's a, you know, kind of one of those things. So.
Yeah, and certainly there is a lot of challenge when it comes to the types of work that are available out there. Again, when the folks were rehabbing the house right next to ours, and I'm watching the guys on the roof, and it is, you know, 89, 93, 97 degrees out there. I'm thinking, how in the name of heck can anyone really keep going with that? And yeah, they're young, strapping folks, that's for sure, but still, I'm thinking, that is rugged. That's got to be one of the toughest jobs that's out there. And yet they were plowing on through. So there are people who are, and got the constitution and the work ethic to stick with something like that. But that's really tough.
It is. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, as again, we do a lot of pre-engineered metal. And I mean, that stuff gets so hot, you can't hardly touch it. You had to wear gloves to even put it on. And you're right, Tom, that heat coming off of there and any roof, shingles, the bill, you know, the old tar kettles. I mean, that roofing is hard work. And a lot of our business is hard work. But you're right, too. A lot of these guys just, you know, they buy into it. They used to hard work. It's changing, I think, our whole country a little bit, but hopefully that'll continue. There'll be people that just love hard work and willing to do it every day. And the hope is we can pay them what they're worth, you know, and that's the big thing. We can give them what they deserve. And safety, of course, we hadn't mentioned that. That's a huge thing with Associated Builders and Contractors and all our companies is, you know, make sure these guys go home every day. You know, we don't want anybody to get hurt, or definitely, you know, can't have a fatality no matter what. That's a big push for ABC and all of us in the commercial industry too. That is big now.
You're revitalizing.
And as always has been, but it's even getting more and more safe.
Well, I'm thinking back, Jay, as you mentioned that, to an iconic photograph that was taken, I think, during the construction of the Empire State Building. And it shows a whole bunch of iron workers sitting astride a girder close to 1,000 feet above the pavement. And they're having lunch and they're just jawboning and having a good old time. And I'm going, oh, OSHA would have a field day with this thing. But Kim, that kind of adds to the challenge that the builders and contractors have as well, because there are a lot of ways to do something fast, but there are fewer ways to do it completely safe. And if you can combine fast and safe, boy, you've got the magic formula right there. That is something that a lot of people don't take much into consideration, that you have to have all of these precautions and safety items in place to make sure that workers are protected. And also, and let's face it, litigation is out there, and that can add to the cost of construction as well.
Yeah, our first and foremost goal is to get everybody home safely every night to their families. We wouldn't have it any other way. And we use internal hazard assessment programs. We do safety audits. Of course, people are provided with necessary PPE. Of course, PPE is the last line of defense. You want to work smarter. You want to eliminate those hazards before you have them. And so that's been a culture shift, as you mentioned, over the past 20, 30 years for construction. You know, 30 years ago, the attitude was, well, accidents happen in construction. No, they don't. They don't have to. You can work around. You can figure out the safe way to do something, and you can provide that training. We're constantly doing training with our people weekly. And what's been unique about the COVID situation, we've revamped that. We obviously had to cut back on the person, you know, large groups together, and we've embraced Zoom Teams to do some of our training and reach out to people and still keep that consistent front of mind, because it's like anything that's important, you have to repeat, and let people know you're sincere about the messaging as well. So, and again, Associated Builders and Contractors is great about supporting that effort as well with programs and additional information that you need. So, but we can't say enough about working safely. No job is worth somebody getting injured. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Just to follow up there, Tom, PPE is personal protection equipment. I know Kim and I are a lot into acronyms, expecting people to know what we're talking about. Something following up, you had mentioned earlier, and it's a big thing, and we've seen it a lot over the years, is, you know, fast and safe are really not, you know, they're almost in opposites. I mean, we've really, by the time you tie off and move your lanyard, make sure you don't fall off a roof, or, you know, do your scaffolding with your tow board, it definitely has added cost and time to construction over the years. You know, before COVID and all these other things, I would say that's been one of the biggest changes we've seen in the last 5 to 10 years, is the cost of safety, not only the equipment, which is, you know, usually now you need some kind of protection, leading edge protection, whether that's a lift or a lull or something to make sure people don't fall off the roof or fall where they're at. And, you know, the equipment rates are way up because you're using a lot more equipment than you did in the past. You know, a ladder, once you get over 6 feet on a ladder, you're supposed to be tied off. And that can be a challenge, as you can imagine, if you're on even a 6-foot ladder doing something on the ceiling. You know, I don't know where you tie off when you're in a building doing the ceiling, or in Kim's thing doing the air conditioning units when you're 6 feet high, you're supposed to be tied off. What do you tie off to? You know, so it's a challenge, safety. But as she mentioned, it's a big thing for all of us, really big for ABC. We just had a statistic and thing come out. I think they said they have a platinum, what they call STEP, and that's safety training. Kim, you might have to help me on that acronym. But the bottom line is these guys are, I think it's at 670-something% more safe than just the average contractor by this program. And as Kim's point being, you can do it. You know, for years we said, well, we do the best we can, but, you know, somebody's bound to get hurt. Well, our philosophy and our thought today is it can be prevented. You know, whether we have to have toolbox talks every morning or be specific about this particular thing we're doing and say, hey, this is a problem, be careful here. But we got all that in the front of our mind now to make safety a big, you know, bigger than it's ever been, I would say, which it should be. It always should have been. But I think we're, you know, as an organization and as our companies, that is the main thing today, is make sure the people don't get hurt.
Folks, so we're talking about construction primarily on the commercial side, but we'll probably get into a little chit-chat about what's going on in the residential side of the equation, too, on this version of Perspectives from WFSU Public Media. And if you miss all or a part of a program, it is always available for you online on our WFSU.org website. We try to have the most recent program up as soon as we can after it actually airs on the radio, so you can revisit it and go back and listen to it again and again as many times as you want. We have Jay Bostwick, chair of the Association of Builders and Contractors of North Florida, along with the vice chair of that organization, who is also heading up Comfort Systems USA, and that is Kim Anderson. We're so glad that you could join us. Another challenge for the industry, for any industry really, though, is public perception, and sometimes the contractors and builders are kind of held up as, well, it's their fault. And let's just chat about this for a second. On the personnel side, and you hear this an awful lot, that, all of these undocumented folks come in, they're working for builders and contractors for essentially minimal wages and all that. How do you guys deal with that? When people come up to you and say, well, you're causing this trouble with the border and all of this kind of thing, Kim?
No, we do not use undocumented labor. We e-verify, use the federal program to verify backgrounds that they are citizens or legally allowed to work in the states. Absolutely. As far as wages, we've been well above minimum wage long before it even became a topic of discussion over the past year or two. I mean, we were already starting people at $15 an hour with no experience, you know, several years ago. So as far as that goes, and So no, that's not the case. And I would say the same for my fellow subcontractors and contractors. We just don't see that in the world that we work in by any means. And Associated Builders and Contractors certainly would not support using undocumented folks to execute work. Now, we're all about people coming legally to the U.S. We certainly can use the workforce and would support, you know, that legal immigration by all means, absolutely. But we certainly, our largest asset is our people. So we certainly want to do everything we can to support that good, solid work ethic and people being successful for the long term. We don't want short-term gains through shortcuts. Absolutely not.
Okay. Anything to add to that, Jay?
I would say, you know, Kim's dead on the money. All of us are pretty, you know, we have this E-Verify and have to make sure that everybody is, you know, documented, and we're all serious about, you know, who's here and who's working for us and the quality of the people. So she did a good job on that. You know, you mentioned the housing. Again, that's it's booming. There's no question housing is booming. We're in the commercial side, but I've got family and, you know, we're here and you see in Tallahassee and everywhere. That is statewide. You know, houses up 30-40% down in the Fort Myers, I guess the south west side of the state you hear. And just everywhere I go, you can't get lumber. You know, wood is so high, and they're building everything back down there in Mexico Beach and Panama City. And we are definitely having an influx, I think, of people, whether that's some of them getting out of some of these states, maybe that the governor hadn't done a good a job as ours and letting them, you know, get out and you know, do things, and they're cooped up. I don't know why, but they're definitely coming here in the home building, I think, Tom. So that's we get a bad rap about that too, you know, put on traffic on the road and the other things. but they're definitely moving here, and we need to be planning for it. And I think we have done a good job as a state. You know, we keep talking about infrastructure and the roads, and I know there's a lot of yays and nays on that new main road up the west coast to kind of help alleviate some I-75, and you know, you always got to worry about the environment at the same time. But we are definitely booming as far as the home building. I would agree with that.
And there's another challenge that you have, and either you, Jay, or you, Kim, can talk about this a bit, that, you know, people will complain that there is not a lot of construction of affordable housing, however you define affordable, and that is not really a decision that is made by the builders and contractors, that you all work for development companies who specify what the end product is going to look like and certainly how it's going to be priced. And you guys are just working on a contractual basis with the people who make those decisions.
Correct. Yeah, that aftermarket pricing is determined by the market and by the developer that invested in that piece of land and in that future vision of that particular building. So we're typically handed a set of plans and specifications developed by a design team. Sometimes we work in concert with them to help maintain budgets and do what's called a budget, you know, design assist, mainly so to help track budgets, especially in a volatile market like this, or come up with ways to be more cost effective. So quite often, you know, we can help in that arena at, you know, less expensive products, maybe things like that. But ultimately, as you mentioned, it's that owner of that building that controls the aftermarket pricing as far as that goes. So yeah.
Yeah, well, before we even began this conversation, you mentioned the the mattress store or the car wash effect. How does that happen that suddenly you get a whole bunch of similar kinds of projects that are going up in an area. And I referenced back to the days of the convenience store on every single corner. Is it just that the developers get a wild hair and say, we need more car washes in a particular market, or how does that happen?
I think it's the market again that dictates it. Somebody finds an avenue to invest capital and create something that has a need. And of course, as somebody sees that take off, they implement it elsewhere. I go back to the freestanding emergency departments. That really puzzled me when they first started coming out. But then if you think about it, those are feeders to the larger hospitals. So they're reaching out further without building a mammoth new hospital somewhere, but they're getting patients then in those remote areas, more, you know, away from the main hospital, but can bring them into their network of healthcare. So I assume that's why that became a trend as well, and is an ongoing trend. You see it now also with the rehabilitative facilities that are away from the hospitals away. And I don't know if insurance payments drive some of that, but obviously there's got to be some math that supports that, whether it's the car wash, the convenience store, the mattress store. And I've actually said that same thing. How can we have so many mattress stores? There must be an awful lot of money in mattresses. So
good markup on the product is what I heard from someone who sells them. Jay Bostwick, following up on something Kim just said, you've got a major hospital rehabilitation center at Capital Regional now that a bunch of people are going to be working on over the next probably, year and a half, I think, was the timeline for that project.
Yeah, I think at least that. Yeah, and both hospitals have done a lot of work here, Tom, and that's big money, big projects. So we need those, the Cancer Society or whatever, the Tallahassee Orthopedic, I think. We've had a lot of the medical profession that's not just the hospitals doing a lot of work. And follow up a little bit on what you said, I have great respect for developers. And, I just always tell them, we can build anything. We're a pretty diverse company. And if you say it works and the bank's willing to loan you the money, I can build it for you. But I am amazed at, some of the I don't know the word, gamble's not a good word, but some of the stepping out there and, taking the chance that these guys do is pretty remarkable. In Tallahassee specifically, working here mostly, they're pretty smart too. You see most of the sites that were flat and good dirt and all that are kind of gone today. Today we got a lot of real steep sites. The dirt's not always the best. So these guys do a good job of figuring out the best places, and they're, disappearing, if you will. And of course, location is, Capital Circle over there in Northeast is, finding a piece of property there is just, commercial's almost impossible. So I think you'll see some infill. We recently redid that five-story there at Thomasville Road and 6th. Been there for years, and it turned out really nice down there. And I think you'll see a lot of that where you'll see some of these buildings being reused for different purposes. But what will they be? It will be the question, with the offices and people. If they start working from home, it'll be interesting. How many more offices will we need?
That's right. Yeah, that has changed a pace since the advent of COVID. Yeah, that building you're talking about, Jay, at the corner there, the old Mobile Home Industries, that used to be the MHI building, as I recall, before that. But at least the folks who work there, regardless of how many there are, will have a pretty nice Mexican restaurant right next door.
Yeah, they got the restaurant right there. And that's a nice part of town. They've done a great job there. And I know Kim in Pensacola, the same thing. Mr. Tudor over there has done a lot of downtown stuff. So that's something Tallahassee's done a great job, I think, planning and trying to get more people downtown and keep it vibrant and open. And I think Tallahassee and Pensacola have really done a good job with that.
And Kim, you've got another medical facility there, that partnership with Tallahassee Memorial, Florida State University, and the Oh gosh, the St. Joe folks, that's a building in Panama City that's supposed to be adjacent to a new development out there, right?
Yes, yes. There's a lot of growth in that area. We're getting a new Baptist hospital here in Pensacola. There's a major hangar project for ST Engineering at the airport as well, just in Pensacola proper, some of the larger projects as well. So really, we're fairly vibrant with what the opportunities are across the panhandle as to what is going on. So we just hope it stays that way too.
Well, you folks kind of had your names taken in vain a little bit during the last legislative session as they got into a discussion again of insurance. Can you even recall a Florida legislative session that didn't have something to do with insurance in some way, shape, or fashion? But the whole contracting folks were kind of besmirched when a few lawmakers suggested that the reason that home insurance was going upward was fly-by-night contractors who'd come swooping in and start to rehab people's roofs and then bail on it, and the insurance companies got stuck with it. How do you police the building and contracting industry, whether it's residential or commercial? What kind of controls does the industry itself have to keep bad actors out of the mix, if you will?
Well, the state of Florida itself has the Construction Industry Licensing Board that requires all of us to have contractor licenses, and they have a very robust testing, qualifications, background. So licensed contractors should not be grouped in fly by night. They're well policed, and certainly expectations are high on performance, and there's certain vehicles in place. Most of our local authorities have robust permitting and inspections that happen. So that should not happen in our markets. So now there's always you get the influx, probably what you're referring to, especially post-hurricane. People try to come take advantage, but it's there. Maybe we need to do a little better marketing, asking people, check that your contractor is licensed. Check and ask for a certificate of insurance from your contractor. Nobody should act shocked if they're asked for a certificate of insurance by any means. And if they look at you wrong there, then you need to walk and find you a licensed contractor, because every licensed contractor is going to have all the adequate insurance, and they're going to stand behind the work that they do. So,
I'd just like to follow up a little bit. Kim's dead on the money. We're probably the most, with OSHA and all the things you mentioned, we got more people watching us than anything. Usually if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. It's probably a lot of these people that are coming through town, giving them a cheap price. And what you see a lot of times, and it's always amazing, is that people pay up front. We're one of the few industries, it's a tough thing to be in business. You got to almost finance something. We usually bill at the end of the month on the 30th or 25th for what we did the past month to get paid. So if somebody starts coming in there asking you to pay for all the material or everything up front or whatever like that, you need to be leery. It's usually, I think, the person that's trying to get a great deal and some cheap price and throws their cash out there up front for the material or whatever it is, just somebody pulling a scam. But as Kim said, we are definitely licensed in Florida. That building contractor license is one of the toughest tests. It's pretty tough to get your licensing, and the same with mechanical, electrical, plumbing. I mean, we got to know what we're doing, and it's definitely everybody that is licensed, I would say you won't see that happening. As Kim said, it's just, you can't stay in business anywhere in an area and do something like that. All our towns are small enough, and it's just not the way it's done. But these fly-by-nights and hurricanes and natural disasters, I think people come flocking in. And then I don't want to blame the owners, but I mean, if you're getting too good a deal, you should make sure your contractor, she says, licensed and insured, and and not, you know, have to pay much up front to get them going. Maybe something to get them there, but not a, you know, ton of money. So that should keep you out of trouble.
Well, something else that comes up sometimes, and maybe y'all can address this one. A lot of these telemarketing calls right now are for solar installations. Is that a real thing, or is that yet another in a never-ending litany of scams that we can fall prey to? Is that for real?
I'm not really familiar with that, again, since we have not gotten involved with that. So I really can't say. Power companies might be the better ones to answer that question as to, you know, what the payback is there. I think there's tax incentives there, so that may be what's driving a lot of that. But I'm really unfamiliar with that.
Yeah, because there's always talk about entrepreneurs. There are a million ways that folks can attempt to separate you from your money. And sometimes it is legit, and many times it is not. Folks, let's put out the crystal ball here and kind of, if we can, and it's all wild speculation at this point, but look forward and see how the building trade, especially on the commercial side, you see that evolving in our area of North Florida for at least the foreseeable future. Kim, we're already with you. How are things out there in Northwest Florida between Pensacola and Destin and out towards Panama City? Still going to be a seething hotbed of activity, do you think, or what's going to happen?
We think so. Again, always unpredictable, but we think people are still pursuing their projects. You know, economically, we hear there's a lot of money in the bank that a lot of people didn't spend their money over the past year and are making, starting to view wise ways to invest that, you know, in the private sector. The federal government is certainly pumping a lot of money out. As mentioned, we know of all the reconstruction at Tyndall. I think there's upcoming projects at Eglin Air Force Base and Hurlburt Field as well. So that's going to drive construction. One of the things which we're already embracing to help with labor shortages and take safety into account and quality is the innovation that's happening within the construction industry with regards to prefabrication, offsite construction, where you build things in a controlled environment of a shop and then take it out and install it. We do it on the mechanical and plumbing side with individual components. It's easier for someone to weld standing on a shop floor with the equipment versus up high in the air, for instance. So if you can do sections of piping or stacks of plumbing, pre-install all the faucets on your lavatories before you take it out, just entire skids of equipment that you can actually build a whole mechanical room off-site and take it. And the same thing's happening with the building side there. I know we priced a project not too long ago that used bathroom pods that were fabricated off-site, and they brought them in, and then we just connected to them. So a lot of innovation happening in the construction industry, which helps a little bit on the labor side because you should be more efficient when you're off-site. It might be a little more attractive to entice new individuals into the industry if they're showing up the same place every day rather than moving around to various job sites. Technology is being integrated every day in different ways, whether it's from you know, the building information modeling, where, you know, we basically model the entire building before it's constructed so that we eliminate conflicts and problems in the field. We see them on the computer instead. So a lot happening in that realm on the construction industry as well. But we got to get over this short-term hurdle with the material shortages, or that could become a showstopper, I guess, because owners aren't going to want to continue to pay that premium, or you know, it's going to come cost benefit analysis they're going to be doing. You know, can I recoup that additional cost versus afford to wait a year, those type of decisions.
There you go. And with potentially less demand on the office side of the equation for new construction, that could be a game changer as well.
Yeah, I would not. I would be concerned about commercial, a new commercial office building. If I had been budgeting something like that, I would be skeptical whether that would follow through at this point.
Any final thoughts from you, Jay Bostwick, as to the future of contracting and building in our area?
Well, you know, when you see all these homes and these people coming, that's always first. You know, the people come and then they need all of our commercial stuff, whatever it is, whether it's the new car wash or the new retail or the new, you know, whatever we're going to have. You see the people coming. I think it's going to be good. You know, we mentioned our concerns, the not only the cost, but the availability of material and workers. And I'm with Kim, hoping this short term, you know, going up and getting all this material and everybody trying their best to hurry up and get it somewhere, that's going to cross with a little bit of a slowdown. So hopefully all that kind of does it at the right place, if you follow what I mean, and we don't have a glut and then everything, you know, go crashing the other way because we got too much material. So I don't see that happening. So I think it's going to be really good for us in Florida, the whole state. We were with our other constituents. We got five associated builders and contractors organizations in Florida, and everybody seems to be very busy and very positive, with those two exceptions, the material supply and the labor supply. But we're pretty positive about everything coming forward.
Yeah, the last thing we need is to have a whole bunch of competing contractors or builders showing up at the lumber yard and you suddenly have a firefight over the 2x4s. We don't need that, that's for sure.
That's right, Tom.
Jay Bostwick and Kim Anderson, a great conversation today. You've given us a lot to mull over when it comes to building and contracting in our area, particularly on the commercial side. All the best to you and the thousands of other folks who are involved in the building trades industry in our area. And thanks for sharing all that information with us on Perspectives today.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Perspectives produced by WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee. Thanks to Taylor Cox, Paul Dam, Amy Diaz de Villegas, Devin Bittner, Brandon Brown, Tricia Moynihan, and Lydell Rawls, our director of content. Kim Kelling is executive producer, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, we're going to look ahead to Father's Day, which is Sunday, June 20th this year. We're going to be speaking with Jack Levine, the winner of last year's prestigious Child's Advocacy Award, for his support of children and their interests throughout his Four Generations Institute and also organizations such as Voices for Florida's Children. We're going to be talking dads and granddads on Perspectives next week from WFSU Public Media. Take care.